You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are back for another Just Dr. Barr and Jody episode where we're going to talk about homeopathy's role in addressing infections. This is obviously a really important thing to talk about when we're talking about pans and pandas because infections come up regularly and they impact the chronic case, right? Mm-hmm. And so the decision about what to do when you have an active infection matters, right? Mm-hmm. Especially also if it's not even an acute infection, if it's a chronic infection, that mm-hmm. also matters. So yeah. Do you want me to just dive in like I always do, or do you have specific things you want me to talk about? Or
yeah, I don't, I'm sitting here thinking about how like there's just so many, there's the active infections, what do we do with them? There's the chronic infections. Do we care about them? Do we do anything? Like there's, I think just dive into it.
All right. Well, the first and foremost thing is if you're using homeopathy with chronic infections, you're doing something.
Yep.
Right. So homeopathy can be used to address infections, chronic or acute, and it can be used as a monotherapy, meaning using only homeopathy. There are some circumstances where I don't necessarily always recommend this, but homeopathy itself does address the infection. It's not going to address the infection in the way that an antibiotic is going to address it. So it's not going in to try and with the thing that you're taking is going to kill the infection. What the thing that you're taking is going to stimulate your body's own ability to kill the infection, right? And mm-hmm. in the process, it's going to address your body's susceptibility to how it reacts to the infection. So it's doing multiple things that are important for addressing the infection. So, but to the people who think that if you're doing homeopathy, you're not actually addressing the infection, that's not accurate. Homeopathy has been used historically in during the flu pandemic back 100 years ago. It was used with far greater success than any of the conventional therapies. There hasn't been a study recently on, you know, other things like the most recent pandemic. I haven't seen a study to see homeopathy outcomes versus conventional outcomes. But I do know that there was also great success with that and people who used only homeopathy to address COVID when they had it. So when we're talking about acute illness, acute verified illness, homeopathy can still be effective. And if that's the choice that you want to make for how you want to address it, that's fine. You are addressing it. The main place where I personally and our team will often follow suit, just again, depending on the individual, it always has to be individualized, right? Is when we're first starting a case of pans and pandas and we have a verified active infection with strep. I don't mess around with strep. Strep is a nasty bug. It's one of the things that whenever I've talked to legislators, I use it as my example, not just because I happen to be a pandas doc, but because it really helps people see the importance of getting the right therapy at the right time in an appropriate amount of time too. So what I always tell legislators when I'm talking about this importance of being able to get an antibiotic from a provider that you trust is that if you don't get treated for strep within 4 days, you have the risks of having more impacts to the brain, the heart, and the kidneys, right? And I tell people, basically, if you were to come and see me and I could diagnose your strep throat with a test in office, or you could even get a home test and tell me you have strep throat, and I happen to be your doctor of choice, but if I couldn't write you a prescription for an antibiotic, then you could end up developing the case where you need to see me chronically, right? Okay. So it's really when you're starting out with homeopathy. I mean, if you already have PANS and you already have pandas, it's maybe slightly less of a risk, but you do still run the risk of like further damage beyond where you've already had, right? It's not like this is what strep is going to do to my body. It's done.
Yeah.
So I will often recommend early in therapy or early in homeopathy, if somebody has a verified active strep infection, I do recommend antibiotics early on. And this is because we don't know yet how quickly you're going to respond to homeopathy. We may not have you responding to a remedy yet. So it depends on the individual. For somebody who's a really fast responder, we can sometimes avoid it, you know, like I'll tell you, I'll be perfectly honest. Like so my daughter had a strep infection like a year or two ago, and I got her the remedy that was the right remedy for her. Hers happened to be Pulsatilla. She was better. She was improving substantially by the time I got her to her pediatrician to verify the strep and to like do the swab and the throat culture. I still gave her antibiotics just because, again, I don't mess around with strep, and my daughter doesn't have any sort of reactions to antibiotics, because that's the other place where we might not want to do antibiotics. We might want to only do homeopathy. So in chronic infections, it's the same thing. So when we're talking about something like chronic Lyme, any of the tick-borne illnesses that are just stubborn and like persistent, the spirochetes that the type of bacteria is, like the way that it can change and evade the immune system and evade antibiotics, it makes it just really tough. Homeopathy is still addressing those, because the reality is, like I just said, they can evade the antibiotics. They just go into like their spore form, or you know, that they just change the way that they are oriented inside your body, so that the antibiotics are just not very effective against them. So homeopathy does address those long-term infections, just like any, not the same way, but it is addressing them, again, by stimulating your body's immune system to handle it on its own, to handle it naturally. It's just a really important thing to remember that just because we have exposure to something doesn't mean we're going to get it, right? So the fact that we have gotten it and it's affected us so much is part of our susceptibility. There's plenty of people who have been exposed to Lyme, formed antibodies to it, fought it off, and moved on, and didn't end up with chronic neurological health conditions, right? Yeah. It's still part of the susceptibility. So the fact that you're susceptible to getting it in the way that you get it, and for it to be persistent, is part of your chronic case, and homeopathy is addressing that. So, it's not something that, like, yeah, you don't have to. You can use additional therapies, but you don't have to, because homeopathy is actually playing a role.
I don't know why it's so hard. We were in a client guide meeting the other day, and we were talking about how, why is it so hard as PANS parents to wrap our brain around the fact that homeopathy is medicine? And I know that's the silliest comment ever, but it's like, even now that my girls are better, and I see like we've finally swung into like being good at acute illnesses and homeopathy, like I see it all the time. Like they get sick and it's like couple a day turnaround. They do amazing with homeopathy. So I know what homeopathy is addressing, whatever they had, but it's so hard to like wrap your brain around the fact that, I guess because they're different, it's just two different things. Antibiotics is one thing and it's killing, and homeopathy is still affecting. It's just effective. It's just doing it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
It's just, I know that's silly.
Well, I think that it's not silly, because I even sometimes will have to wrap my brain around it. You know, like I said, I gave my daughter antibiotics, even though I saw that the homeopathy was already starting to have an impact on her, and that she was already feeling better. Her fever was gone. Things were improving. I still gave her antibiotics because of where I sit. Right. And so we have our own stories about things. We have however we were raised too. And then there's like this challenge that I think we have as humans, where we both trust and mistrust ourselves. And I think that humans in general have, I don't know, like the things that you can't see and you can't necessarily understand or feel, like it's harder to trust it, right? Like you just have to trust that all of the cells that are in your body are doing the thing that it's supposed to do to fight this thing off. And when that thing is like destroying your life, it doesn't feel like your body has what it takes to get you out of it, right? Because it didn't in the first place. And like, and I get that like such a small dose of a substance that it could be used for lots of different things doesn't feel the same as like, this is going after this infection. This specific thing is addressing this specific thing. It does. It feels different. For sure. So I don't begrudge anybody their wherever they're at. You know, I've worked with people on all sides of the spectrum, right? People who are like, nope, antibiotics make my kid substantially worse. So even if you tell me to get them, I'm not going to, because I know it's going to make it worse. Please work with me about like finding the right remedy. And like, you know, and we'll do that. And it's effective. And there's mm-hmm. plenty of people that like could never clear an infection until they used homeopathy. And then they finally cleared it, you know? Those kids with the chronically swollen tonsils that have recurrent strep, that like sometimes you got to get the tonsils yanked out, and sometimes you can actually just address all of it with homeopathy, you know?
Yeah. I think a cool thing is the long term of this too, right? The like using homeopathy to address infections while a child's healing, but also like I get to see what that looks like in the long run, and what it looks like when homeopathy has like actually healed the immune system. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, with both of my girls, they can get, you know, sick, and their bodies just work through it in a way that it used to not at all. So it's not just like the current killing that infection. That's part of what homeopathy can do, but it's also like the bigger picture of where yeah. we're working the immune system to. And that part is like mind blowing to me.
Well, if you think about it, if you really want to talk about the bigger picture, homeopathy is addressing today's infection, and it's helping reduce susceptibility to future infections. Whereas like going after things with antibiotics is the reverse, right? Yeah. It's going after today's infection and making you more susceptible to future infections because of the impacts that it has on your microbiome and the ways that that impacts your immune system too, and can contribute to leaky gut and just overall greater levels of inflammation and being more reactive to more things. So at best, an antibiotic is addressing this infection and potentially making you more susceptible to future infections. Homeopathy is addressing this infection and reducing your susceptibility to future infections. And if it is not clear, and perhaps I should say this in case it wasn't 100% clear, you can use homeopathy and antibiotics or other treatments together. There's some complications with that. So working with a skilled practitioner who knows both classical homeopathy very well and understands the medications very well is really beneficial. But you can use both together, as I did. You know, I didn't stop giving my kiddo, you know, her remedy, the pulsatilla, when she had strep. I just also gave her amoxicillin when she had strep. And she got through it a lot faster and was doing a lot better, a lot quicker than she would have otherwise. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be a one or the other. And they are addressing things differently. You are a little bit more guaranteed, because with homeopathy, you do have to find the right fit. So it's not like, it's not as, guaranteed to kill the infection, because it's not going to kill the infection. It's stimulating your body to do the killing itself and to like do what it needs to do with mobilizing the immune system appropriately. So you can have more guarantee that you are going to kill the infection with an antibiotic, but you still don't have an actual guarantee, right? Mm-hmm. And Pans and Pandas families know this, because how many times do we see the first round of antibiotics are a miracle, second round not working quite so well, third time, oh, now we need to add a new one, now we need to change to a different one. And like, it just keeps going and going and going, because the way the immune system is working is such that you get into that sort of pattern, right?
Yeah, it's a never-ending wild goose chase.
Yeah. The medication merry-go-round. This stopped working. Let's start a new one. Oh, now wait, let's add this. Let's, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else about homeopathy and infections that we need to address?
So. I think okay. we covered it.
I think maybe the only other thing, I think we've done an episode on this. Let me look and see. Have we talked about true and false acutes?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, that was episode 73. We can put a link to true and false acutes. Because we already have it, I'm not going to make this an unnecessarily long episode. What I will say is that if you haven't listened to that episode, it could be really beneficial, because when you're dealing with a complex chronic illness that involves infections and inappropriate or misdirected immune response, you can see something sometimes where you get a blend of an acute infection and a chronic state that needs to be addressed in a certain way, which is why even if you are going to use antibiotics or something like that, if you've got pans and pandas, and you're using homeopathy, you still need to use the homeopathy to make sure you're not missing an opportunity for the next level of healing because of a false acute. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to that episode. It'll help clarify things. That's the only other thing I think that we should add is that, like I said, it is important to remember that infections are an important window into the bigger picture of healing when it comes to pans, pandas.
Yep.
All right. And with that, let's wrap for today. We'll see you guys again soon. Take care, everybody.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.